Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Hey, if you've suffered an injury in an accident and would like a free case review, make sure you call the super team at Daspit Law Firm. Free consultations are available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 713-CALL-NOW. That's 713-CALL-NOW. Or you can go to the website, DaspitLaw.com.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's John and Lance
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, 9:02, and we're talking college football. We've got the college football playoffs, the Final Four, is going to be kicking off this weekend, and joining us right now is our college football expert. He is the administrator at Pate State, also the school president, and he is the one and only host of the Josh Pate College Football Show, which my son Alec watches religiously on YouTube on the day it drops. So I happen to think Josh is one of the best voices in college football today, and he joins us right now. And one of the reasons I like you, Josh, is that, first of all, you have analogies. I like the fact that you can go between, you bring your meemaw into it, which is, or mama or meemaw. What do you have, a mama, a meemaw? What do you call her? Your grandma?
One man's meemaw is another man's mama, as yeah. Meemaw used to say. So either way, your point's valid.
Yeah, yeah. So you'll bring her into it, and as meemaw used to say. But, you know, I always think... I think that college football, to me, a lot of times, I like to go outside the box a little bit. And I'll tell you what I mean. Like, the running game is a lot like body punching in boxing. Or sometimes the way that you approach your defense. You know, there's different tone-setting things. It can be like a combat sport. And I bring this up because the last time we saw Ohio State lose, and they've got two wins in a row, and they're really, really, really good wins, the last two. The last time we saw them lose, Will Howard looked bad. The team looked bad. They looked overcome by a significantly less talented Michigan team, but it's a Michigan team that has learned how to hit them right in the mouth. And you and I texted about this. If Texas' offensive line were healthy, Josh, I think they could potentially try and gear up for a more physical battle to try to bring that game into the mud a little bit, which is what I think you have to do. I just don't. Do you think that they're healthy enough to where they can really say, hey, we're going to really strap it up and turn this into a physical affair on the offensive side of the ball? Can Texas do that with the injuries that they have up front?
I worry the answer is no. It's one of the non-starters, sort of a non-negotiable for them. You know, we've seen Texas both ways already in the playoff. We saw them run the ball for nearly 300 against Clemson. They were able to largely control that game and win it. It got competitive, but they were able to win it. They could not run the ball against Arizona State. They got badly outgained on the ground. And what that did was, not only did it not give them the rushing yards and whatnot, and they couldn't really control the game the way they wanted, it also really upped the Arizona State pass rush numbers, and Arizona State is not a good pass rush team. They were in the 120s coming into that game, and they got three sacks, I think eight tackles for loss, and Ohio State is top 10 in all those categories, and Ohio State is tougher to run on. So even if you're healthy, they're tough to run on. I just worry Texas cannot forget controlling the game. They can't keep the game balanced on the ground, and that makes that game potentially get crooked on them.
Yeah, and this is what I worry about with Texas in this matchup, because I'm trying to find ways for them to win. And I think the first thing you have to do is really limit the amount of time that Will Howard has to throw, because you can't just cover Tate, Smith, who's the other one? Emeka, Ibuka.
Ibuka.
I just don't think you can. You just don't have enough DBs that can stay with those guys in man. You can play some zone. Now, I watched a lot of Texas defensive line this week, watching Collins, watching Sorrell, watching. I mean, they've got, listen, Texas can get the quarterback. They can go out and get after the quarterback, which is one of the big advantages I think they have. And let's also, while I'm talking about Texas offensive line not being healthy, hey, I would be remiss if I didn't mention all of the injuries that Ohio State has, Josh, and can Ohio State keep their quarterback clean? Why don't we have that conversation?
Well, that's the one. So if you're trying to find the path for Texas, you have to think in terms of athletes, and they have Texas being they. They have the kind of depth and versatility of athletes up front to really be the first team that takes advantage of those injuries. The way college football works a lot of times is, all right, an injury happens, and then the next game everyone's freaked out about it. But if you go on to win that next game, people just forget about it. And they revert back to, you are Ohio State, instead of, you are Ohio State without your Remington Award-winning center and your left tackle. Well, Ohio State still is that. It just hasn't mattered so far. But if the matchup dictates that it matters here and they can disrupt timing and rhythm, look, this is a game that's really, really interesting because sometimes you can throw the crowbar in the bicycle spokes, which is the metaphor you know I use a lot. And what that does is, in conventional logic, you think, oh, well, if they're scoring 38 a game, we can slow them down to 28 a game. Well, sometimes it's you're scoring 38 a game, but someone disrupts you, and it's like a crowbar in the bicycle spokes. The bike doesn't slow down, it just stops. And you've got 10 points on the board late third quarter, and you're wondering, what's happened? Well, someone's disrupted you up front, and all that timing, all that rhythm, maybe they tackled in the open field better, maybe they limited explosives, which Texas does very well. That stuff can work together to create a Texas upset here. It's just, think about what we're talking about, Lance. We are stacking a lot of ifs on top of each other. Now, if all those ifs pan out, yes, it looks good. We built ourselves a nice Lego house, but we got to have all of them.
What's the legacy going to be for Quinn Ewers? What do you predict the legacy will end up being? I mean, this is going to be either his last game or his second to last game, more than likely, in college football. His agent tells me he's coming out. He thinks he's going in the first round. I think he should go back and go take a big payday somewhere. That's kind of how, and get better tape this next year. What do you think the Quinn Ewers legacy is at University of Texas?
Yeah, I was questionable about that, but based off what I've heard this week, I think he comes out too. So I think his legacy is yet to be written, honestly. I think a lot of it comes down to this game and maybe the next game if they win this one. Because his expectation coming there was nothing short of win us a national championship, at least win us a conference championship. And they got to Atlanta, but they lost against Georgia. Then you get a reprieve because of the balance, or I guess the format of college football now. But right now you're good, really solid Texas quarterback level. That's what you are, your legacy, so to speak. You got to have hardware in order to elevate yourself above that in the conversation. So that doesn't mean it can't happen, but that means he's got to make it happen right now.
Dell, are you of the mindset that Texas fans have been too hard? Dell, I'll say Dell can't hear me. My producer made the point that he thinks earlier, I think it was last week, you know, I didn't think Quinn Ewers looked very good against Arizona State, but he did make some plays at the end of that game. And he won that, and I guess, you know, Dell made the point that, hey, at the end of the day, he won the game. That's what he's supposed to do. Are Texas fans too – you think Texas fans and college football fans in general are too hard on Quinn Ewers? I don't. I think, as you mentioned, the expectation level's high. I don't think he's become a better quarterback over time there.
So, Indiana had a really good year this year. And they got to the playoff, and they flamed out, and – everyone thought what they thought about it. Well, then you see the story come out. Wart played the whole year with a torn ligament in his knee. He had a thumb injury, and you hear about that after the season. It would not surprise me at all if we saw that kind of headline about Quinn Ewers after the season's over. In fact, I expect to see that kind of headline, and not to make an excuse or anything.
He's been
what
hurt.
It does is,
he has been beat up, Josh. I know that for a fact.
Yeah. And so what I think it does when you get the specifics on that, come what may this next game, I think what it does is it makes you look at it through a different prism a little bit, and it provides a lot more context to why he may not have lived up to your expectation or my expectation fully, if that's the case. No. If you're the starting quarterback at Texas, it is a heat position. Same thing at Alabama, same thing at Ohio State, same thing at USC. You get a lot of reward for playing that position. The trade-off is you get a lot of criticism when things don't go right. I've never thought that's unfair. And you got the option to walk out the door at any moment. So, no, I don't think that's unfair.
Well, let me follow up on that. And this has nothing to do with Texas or Ohio State. It's the idea of the criticism. So you know, for years it's been, hey, these are college kids. You can't criticize them. They're just amateurs. Now that the money is what it is, now that all the power to move and you know, everything is in the players' court now, I've heard the argument that they're professionals now. They're not amateurs. They just play in a minor league, but they're professional athletes now, and they can be treated as such. Where do you – you're not a guy that tears players down, or you're not overly critical, but you are honest in your assessments. Where do you fall in that in terms of – because you're in SEC country, and it can get a little rough. Where do you fall in the criticism level? Do you think it's fair that it gets ratcheted up now that money's involved?
Yeah. I've never done it that way. I think the way I do it's the way it should be done. But that's why I do it. That's my business. That's why I do it the way I do it. I have never been a believer in sort of targeting guys and attacking them personally. And even people who do it that way wouldn't call themselves doing it that way, but I think they are. Whether I like it or not, I remember the first time I got a whiff of what NIL was going to bring. And one of the first things that I started talking about was the unintended consequences. And the unintended consequences was the kid gloves that you used to treat amateur athletes with, as we used to call them, were going to come off. Because there was always a way you talked about the left tackle for the Jets that you would never talk about the left tackle for Michigan. And the reason is because one's a college kid and one's a pro athlete. Well, now they're just all pro athletes in the minds of a lot of people. Now, in reality, you and I both know you can put all the money you want to in the pocket of a 19-year-old. He's still 19 years old. They still got the same heart and mind that they always have. It's just that their status is a little bit different in the public's eye. I've never viewed it that way. Like, I treat them the same way that I always would have, but I do think there's a little more callous approach from the public, and it's completely understandable.
Yeah, it is, and it's. Do you see a change? Do you see a commissioner coming by the beginning of next season?
No, not in the sense that we want. Not in the sense of someone who doesn't have to answer to the college football commissioner,
exactly,
and university president.
It has to be an autonomy. There has to be an autonomy.
Yeah, I don't know how you ever get that. I was in a room 10 minutes ago with James Franklin, and he was talking about this. And, you know, his vision's the right one to have. His vision is, I want all autonomy to a person whose job it is to look out for the best interest of college football. Well, that requires a lot of people who currently have the power voluntarily giving that up. I just don't see that fundamentally. I wish I did, but I don't see how that happens.
Is there somebody other than Saban that you would want?
Yeah, me. But outside of me, Franklin brought up an interesting name. He brought up Dave Clawson out of nowhere. Huh. He brought up Chris Peterson. And those are guys, any of the names I just listed, those are guys certainly that I would trust in that position. But again, how do we put them there? And if they're ever there, are they a figurehead, or do they really have the stroke that right now, nameless, faceless university presidents and network executives and commissioners have?
Yeah, that's a tricky one. I want to swing it over to the Notre Dame-Penn State game. And, you know, Penn State is an interesting conversation for me around draft time now, because I've had a little look at Shedeur Sanders, unimpressive. I'm not a fan of Quinn Ewers or Carson Beck. I don't think I need a look more closely at Cam Ward. It's not going to be a good quarterback year in the draft. There's some people who believe, despite his December 15th proclamation that he was coming back to Penn State, that Drew Aller, with a good playoff run here, might reconsider in a soft quarterback draft, because he could be a top three pick. Where are you on Aller? Aller had his moments last year, but there were highs were high, the lows were low. This year, much more consistent. Where are you on Aller in terms of his ability to not only beat Notre Dame to carry this team? And you know, can he carry a game if he needs to? If Freeman's defense gets after the running game, is Aller able to carry this game as a passer? And is he good enough to beat Texas or Ohio State in the next one? You know, and then, in your opinion, does that project him into? Could you see him springboarding into the pros this year?
He'd have to play his ceiling game. He'd have to be the best we've ever seen him, which happens sometimes. I think you're doing yourself a disservice if you don't leave open the door. You know, if he has career games against Notre Dame and, let's say, Ohio State, and they won a national title, it'd be crazy to say, well, you know, I said 3 weeks ago I'm coming back, so I guess I got to come back. You take all available options, put them on the table, and you make the best decision for yourself. Now, the more realistic probability here is that they probably don't win the national title and he comes back one more year. That's where I guess it's going. But the third part is some blend of that. And this is where I think NIL gets really interesting, because we are seeing a lot of guys. Carson Beck last year was kind of an example of this, of a guy that technically could have come out, but there's enough money on the table for him to stay in college, and you kind of lessen that risk-reward. It used to seem all or nothing. Either I go out for the draft, or I risk my entire life being in financial peril if I get hurt coming back. Well, it's not like that anymore. I mean, these guys make a lot of money, got incredible insurance plans and premiums, and so I think he'll be back. But you never know. If he goes off two times in a row, you never know. Like you said, with a soft draft class, you never know what a top 15 projection all of a sudden does in his mind, and it should.
Well, especially the teams that need quarterback. I mean, you have to just look at the top of the draft and say, is this an organization that I would want to play for? And I think that's the conversation that anybody who is a top quarterback or a highly draftable quarterback who's looking to come out or not come out. And, of course, in Deion's case, he's just going to try to manipulate where his son goes. He's already told you that's what he's going to do. So I think I think that's an interesting discussion. Have you seen a team like I'm just blown away. It started with the Joe Moore Award stuff when we were watching Notre Dame, and they kept getting better and better on the offensive line. The running game was better and better, and then the defense got better and better. And before you knew it, they had a team that's rolling with real momentum. They're now a small favorite against Penn State. And I remember when the ticket on them starting the playoffs was plus 1,000, and I thought, man, that's not a bad ticket because they're a team with some real momentum. They're playing their best football right now. Like, this is their best version of themselves, and they've got little pieces of what I like to see, including a veteran quarterback who can extend plays with his legs and make first downs with his legs. Do you see Notre Dame as a viable candidate to win it all moving forward, or do you think the champion's going to come out of this Texas-Ohio State game?
Well, I think the champion will come out of that Texas-Ohio State game, but to answer your question, yeah, I think they are viable, only because if you continue to play the kind of defense they play, and then you pair that with being plus in the turnover margin, you can win any game you play. All of them are going to look the same. Like, you can trick yourself into thinking, well, you know, they had that little stretch against Georgia, and they needed all these things to happen. So it worked against Georgia, but it won't work against fill in the blank. No, if you grind someone to a halt and you disrupt them significantly, and you can run the ball consistently, and you play great special teams, and you turn the ball over, that blueprint works. The only reason you have doubt about it is you wonder, can you continue to duplicate that? But if you remove that variable, if you were to just guarantee me, yeah, they can duplicate that, absolutely. They can make any game as ugly as you can see all year, and they can win any game. Now, going back to what we talked about 10 minutes ago with injuries, that's the team that should have been decimated by the amount of injury they've had. And I don't know how in the world it's happened, but they seem to have gotten stronger at the right time, and they've done it with all kinds of guys out that should have been, like, ceiling imposers. Once I lose him, I've got a ceiling imposed on what my maximum achievement could be. It just hasn't happened with them.
Last question. If you had to go win one game, who are the three coaches that are in consideration for you to go win one game? You don't know who the team, you don't know what your team of talent is going to look like. They're going to take over a team. So it's more of a theoretical team. You don't know much about it, but you know you need one guy to get them ready for three. You got 3 weeks to go get them ready to go win a game. Who are your three guys in are in consideration for you?
I mean, I'm still going Kirby Smart. I think Kirby Smart's as good at preparation as anyone in the country. I would go him. I think I actually think Chris Klieman at Kansas State is a really good one. He's not in the playoff right now, but I think he's a really good one. Let's see. I trust Kalen DeBoer as well. I trust Kalen DeBoer at Alabama.
Do you still?
Yep, sure do.
Over Dan Lanning?
Yes.
Yeah, wow.
I just saw that case study play out twice last year. So, yes, I would go Kalen DeBoer as my third.
Wow. And people would be shocked based on how he finished his the Oklahoma loss, the loss, the, you know, 16.5-point favorite you lose against Michigan. Why do you say Kalen DeBoer?
I think with his team, a lot of the issues we saw this year are non-issues. With his quarterback, I think a lot of the issues we saw with him this year are non-issues. And in the future, you're talking about preparation, attention to detail, no stone unturned. That's what I'm looking for in an answer to this question.
Yeah.
I think he exhibits all that, and I think a lot of the concerns and gripes Alabama fans may have had this year will be greatly alleviated when the program reflects a lot more of his thumbprint in years.
Okay, I lied. One more. Is Kenny Dillingham going to be, is he the next man up in terms of the young star, or is this going to be a little bit of a flash in the pan year?
No, I don't think it's a flash in the pan. What they've got to do is remain authentic out there. You and I have talked about this before. They can't start pretending to be someone else, and they're not right now. But it's really, when you go from being a cute story to having expectations, sometimes it can impact your identity, and you can't let that happen. You've got to stay authentic. If they do, you just saw a lot of guys, including the quarterback, Levitt, agree to come back there. I promise you, they're not coming back for equal market value. Arizona State can't afford to pay what other programs could. So right now, guys are going there because they want to be part of Arizona State. If that continues, then yes, he will be everything you just mentioned.
That's Josh Pate, Josh Pate College Football Show. Check it out on YouTube. Follow him on social media. His YouTube show's terrific. And it's brought to you this week and every week by Damaris Barbecue and Bobcat of Houston. I'm going to be driving through snow up to Dallas, and you're going to be comfortable in your game. So have fun at your game. I know that you scout weather as much as you scout teams. So I already know through following you on social media, you were already scouting winter storms when you made your decision.
Yeah, first round weather expected here in Miami. Cannot say the same. A lot of character concerns on your forecast over there.
That's a lot of character concerns. A lot of red flags. Josh, thanks for joining us. We appreciate it.
Appreciate it, man.
And, you know, just this morning I noticed my wife brought it to my attention. There was some water on the in the floor of our bathroom. It was near the toilet. And she said, hey, look here, look there. Well, now I've got a leak somewhere in my toilet. I don't know if it's sealed. I got to call Billy Brown. And so Billy Brown and Aqueduct Plumbing Company, they're going to get the phone call. They're going to come out. Probably, I'm guessing what they're going to do is just tear the caulk off and reseal it. But I don't know. I'm not trying to do their jobs. I'm not a plumber. I'm a pit master. I'm a preeminent draft expert. Sometimes a handyman around the house. Have a great voice. There's as a singer, as a choral, you know, expert. So there's a lot of things I do. Plumbing's not one of them. I leave that to Billy Brown and the experts at Aqueduct Plumbing Company. If it's a big job, like I've had them do a big job where there was an issue with my lines not being laid properly and the water was backing up into my kitchen sink, they had to come in and do a complete repiping. And if they have to do repiping, you want Billy Brown and Aqueduct Plumbing Company on your side. If it's a smaller job, like a leaky toilet or a leaky shower, that's something Billy Brown and his company are great at as well. They can also get you ready for freezing cold weather. So hopefully you're in good shape in that regard as well. But just know that aqueductplumbingcompany.com is the website for any and all needs. Go look at their list of services. It's aqueductplumbingcompany.com.
You're back in the Veritex Community Bank Studios with John and Lance
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Do we have John back? I call him John Boy.
No, we don't have
John Boy back. Media. Can you call him live on the air and we check on him? Because some people said they already miss him. He's gone too soon.
He's not dead. He said if things got going, he'd let us know. But he's without power in the dark.
He's
in
sleeping.
California.
Yeah, he's asleep.
100% he went back to bed.
Do you think he's without power, or do you think he just turned his thing off and we're like, guys, this looks like we've got some bad power issues?
Yeah, I can't speak to his level of dedication today.
There are bad fires going on over there.
Yes, he said the wind. He has been talking about the wind really since the show began.
Wind is the nightmare of firefighters.
So I would say John's probably without power.
Yeah, I guess he probably is. He can call on his phone, but that's fine. He has no Wi-Fi, so he can't. He can't get up on the app that we have. Yeah, John's. There's a bad fire going on. Really bad fires. Multiple bad fires going on in California, and apparently the wind is really savage, and so that's why you're not hearing John right now. Anything catch you from what Josh Pate talked about with college football playoffs? When you look at this game, Dell, Ohio State and Texas, do you see? I'm trying to get a path forward for Texas to win, and I can't find one. And the reason's because I don't trust that offense to score enough points. I think you're going to have to. Ohio State's just on too much of a run right now offensively. Running backs, the combination of the running backs they have and the wide receivers they have, are just too good. I keep thinking, how can Texas get it to look like the Michigan game again? Can they get it to look like Michigan? And it's an indoor venue. It's not cold. They don't have the offense. You know, their offense doesn't run like Michigan's, where they just try to hit you in the mouth and slow the game down. I can't really figure out a way that Texas pulls that game into the mud, and I'm not sure they want to. I'm not sure that's who they are.
It would be a diversion from what they have been. I think Texas can get after that Ohio State secondary a little bit. They're going to have to be able to protect. I always say this about games like this. Like Oregon, they wanted to go with the quick passing game, and that allows Ohio State to put you in a box. If you are either you feel you're overmatched or you don't think you can protect your quarterback, at some point you're going to have to trust that you're going to be able to line up and keep pressure away from him, or let your quarterback know you're going to take some hits in this game. They got to throw the ball down the field. I know that Texas likes to get the ball to their fast guys quickly, and that should be part of the game plan too, but you're going to have to take some shots. You're going to have to understand that Quinn Ewers might take a couple in the chops, but you're going to have to test that Ohio State secondary down the field.
Yeah, you got it.
You got the guys to do it. I know the names are on the Ohio State side as far as the wide receivers are concerned, but Texas has three of the fastest guys when you just say as a group, maybe it's even four or five guys in the entire country. They've had them all year, mm-hmm. and they need to exploit what I think is not a great Ohio State secondary in coverage.
Quinn's not a great deep ball passer, but like I continue to go back to Isaiah Bond. He's got to become – I assume Matthew Golden's going to have a good game because he always does. But Isaiah Bond is such a weapon. Man, he's so talented. And I don't think Texas does nearly enough of them. And that's one of my problems with Quinn Ewers is that I don't think he maximizes the weapons. You know, there are some guys that you look at, like people argued about Tua coming out. And the concern was, okay, you have Ruggs and Judy and Devontae Smith. And look at all these great wide receivers. But he maximized them all. Like he got these guys the ball where they needed it, and they made big plays. Quinn Ewers has Isaiah Bond, and he's got – more, he's got Matthew Golden. Like, he's got a ton of guys with speed, as you mentioned. I just want to see him take advantage of it more. And it's not Sark. Like, I've watched Steve Sarkisian call. I've watched him call plays dating all the way back to Alabama. Sark will take his shots downfield. He knows what he's doing. I just think it's Quinn doesn't feel as comfortable throwing deep anymore. And you're right. They've got to get chunk plays, because what's going to happen is Ohio State is going to have some – I mean, they're going to have some success on offense. They're just on too much of a roll. So you're going to have to find ways. You can't kick field goals. You can't let Auburn even have shots.
No.
So everything's got to be touchdowns. And to get those touchdowns, you need chunk plays. I don't think you can – I don't think with the way your offensive line's been beat up a little bit that you can, you know, count on 12-play drives. Now, that's not to say get away from the run game. The running game is where – Michigan started to pound on Ohio State. So the running game's really important for Texas. It's really important. But if that means play action shots downfield, I'm just saying, this can't be a bunch of dink and dunk stuff. This has got to be some shots in the seam. There's got to be some deep digs, over routes where you're trying to get the ball to Bond or Golden in space on the move. That's got to happen at some point for them to win.
Yeah, beyond just even the schemed up stuff that Sark will do with his sequencing of plays that'll maybe get a DB to bite on something. You get somebody running behind him. You know, they do some of that screen stuff and they run a tight end down the seam. It's not just the deep balls, like the chunk plays, the ends, the 15-yard, those things that the intermediate section are where they need to take advantage. And I think Texas has guys that can win one-on-ones if they get into man, if Jim Knowles wants to do that against mm-hmm. Texas, I think those guys have a chance to beat Burke and number one, I forgot his name, Ohio State, they're two corners, uh-huh. and get after him a little bit. So understand, Quinn's going to take some hits, but he has to deliver some shots. They will have opportunities in this game for big plays down the field. It'll be just a question of whether he's up to the task. And he's shown that he can be, and then there are other times where it's like, what are we doing out there?
You know, I also think that they got to get Arch Manning involved in some of the – now, I think it's been a little too predictable. When he comes in games, you know it's going to be a direct snap or it's going to be a zone read where he hangs onto the ball. I think you need to have a package for Arch Manning where you run him – or you have a fake, you know, a jump pass near the end zone, or you have a reverse pass. But you need to dial something up. You need to have a play and a series ready where you take advantage of, where you script plays in an Arch Manning package that allows him to, you know, you're expecting run. Maybe he throws the ball. Maybe you do come up with some type of sweep where he throws out of a sweep when they get near the end zone. But I would get Arch Manning involved in this game in some way, shape, or form. I think he could be one of those guys, because you're probably not really preparing for Arch Manning. You're just going to prepare for, hey, they're going to have a package, a direct snap. You know, let's go look at some of these Arch Manning runs, and this is what we can expect. That's where you come in and you draw something up that they haven't seen. You know, that's where you can create an opportunity for yourself to score on a flash play. Which is something you need for games like this. So I would keep that in mind too. Arch was basically a non-factor in the Arizona State game. I would expect them to maybe make him a little bit more of a factor in this one.
Yeah, they haven't blocked up some of that design stuff for him. I'm not sure he's a great decision maker in the zone read stuff, if that's what they want to do against better competitions. He's had some big runs early in the year when he started or when he came in blowouts. So we saw now it wasn't the same team, but we've seen how Georgia Tech got after Georgia with their quarterback run game. But that was part of their offense. It was a legitimate part of their offense, not sprinkling in which they tried to do with Arch and it didn't work. So, how much time have they actually worked on stuff, or is it a thing where we got a couple plays? Because I wouldn't waste time on that if it's not something that they can block up, obviously. I'm not sure about that.
I'm just talking about a shot play of some sort.
Yeah, I don't feel like Sark would do that, because he may consider that a gimmick. I'm not sure he's going to run in Arch for a play just to, I guess, trick Ohio State. It'd be interesting to see if there is a situation where he thinks he can actually find something with him as a quarterback, because I don't think the quarterback run game is a thing they should be leaning on. Can they get to the edges against Ohio State with their run game? I think that'll be a big part. You mentioned it, not giving up on the run. Can Texas do that? Because Michigan wasn't part of their offense, and it was a slugfest, and that's the last game we keep referencing because that's the last time we saw Ohio State look so bad. I don't think that can be the plan for Texas. They're not great on the offensive line right now. Use your weapons, throw the ball down the field, and if that's the way you go down, that's the way you go down.
I just my wife's talking about going to the game now, her new thing, and I'm thinking, it's going to be snowing. I don't want to drive in this with kids in my car.
Well, you got to take the kids.
I don't want to. Maybe we don't. They're old enough. Maybe I don't. I go for Friday. I go day of. It's supposed to be 26 degrees in the morning, but 41 is the high, so probably the roads will be fine, probably, by the time I go up there Friday. same day as game. I come back on Saturday morning, but I got to get back in time to watch Texans playoffs. And so I got to be up and out the door, and hopefully there's no, you know, bad roads coming back, because I'm not missing the Texans beat the Chargers.
Oh, we're predicting a win.
Yeah. I'm pretty much
even
on that now.
Even with you're not sure that Gilbert's thing is going to work out for you?
Yeah, but I think this is beyond Gilbert. I just think there's too much juice. Clay will probably be in the building.
Clay Walker, you mean, yeah.
Yeah, because Clay Walker sang the national anthem in the season opener against the Bears. Someone pointed that out to me. So he's still very much a part of this organization. And if you get Clay Walker's juice with D'Amico Ryan's fury and CJ playing his best game of the year, I don't think anyone can stop this team.
Well, yes. If CJ plays his best game of the year, then that changes the math. Mm-hmm. Because it will be...
Shred up, Stroud!
I have my doubts that it will be the best game of the year. I mean,
yeah.
It's not a high bar, to be honest.
It's not a high bar, and we haven't really seen it this year. We don't know what it looks
there
like.
There are less weapons. Now... Your offensive line is even more beat up?
I don't know, man.
Scruggs is back, but he'll be taking, what, Shaq Mason's place?
Yeah. Shaq Mason's still hurt. Yeah.
So do you feel great about the interior of that offensive line to protect him?
It's the same as it always
like,
is.
CJ was like, they're a
CJ
wall.
Did talk about they've been much better since they moved. I mean, imagine that. They took a tackle and moved him to left guard. Of course they're going to be better. You got tackles pass protecting. You know, you got three tackles on the field. Your pass protection is going to be better. Run blocking has gone down.
Did the Titans run any stunts?
I don't know. I was driving, so I couldn't see. Probably. If you're smart, you do, unless they wanted to lock in. Who wants to lock in the first pick of the draft this year? I guess you do get to decide what you're going to do. By the way, is there talk? I mean, Rand Carthen is gone. Nothing from nothing, but African-American general manager. How many years did he get? Two or three?
I think he got two. Maybe even just 1 year as strictly the general manager. He got a year as some exec, and then he got elevated to general manager. I think that's how
that
went.
I thought he was just as flat. I think he was 2 years as a GM. Antonio Pierce fired yesterday by the Raiders.
Gerard Mayo,
we know about. There's going to be some heat around that.
Yeah, Carthon was the general manager in 2023. Then he got an extra title, executive vice president and general manager this past year.
Mm-hmm. You know, I think what we're seeing is my guess is Gerard Mayo. So supposedly in New England, people around New England say is just they thought he was going to be a lot better with the players, with the team. Apparently it's more. It's they didn't think he was, after watching him for a year, they're not sure that he's ready, and they're not sure it's going to get better.
Well, you remember early,
in the short term.
Judon, we forget about it, but very early,
yeah.
Judon had an issue. We see the video of him talking to him on the sideline during a practice, a training camp practice. Then he walked into the facility.
Well, he's not trying to be your friend. Like, he's trying to win games, Gerard Mayo, which I totally respect. But at the same time, the game has kind of changed.
I know you want to start... Is the NFL racist talk? But we got to go to John. John, he's not here, by the way. But he sent us live pictures of him driving around and the smoke cloud in Los Angeles. I guess he left his home.
Oh, now all of a sudden it's smoky.
Yeah. So and there's
that's real smoke.
You can see the wind. So John is driving around. I hope he's going to pull a Steve Guttenberg and help people, or is he just taking photos?
He's probably headed to the jet to fly out.
he's gonna
Chad,
come back.
Whenever
the
there's
jet.
Problems in his hometown, wherever he's living, if there's a problem, the man of the people gets in a jet and flies away.
Yeah,
He
doesn't stay to help.
No, he's not staying there to help you. Who's got a jet? I need to get the hell out of here.
I don't know, but it does look very ominous.
They call his nickname is Jay Jetta.
Oh,
because Johnny likes to jet out of there.
Jefferson's.
Some people say it's Justin Jefferson. I say Jay Jetta is Johnny. Johnny, a.k.a. Johnny Wood.
Well, we might have John in studio tomorrow because he flees when things go
bad. Yeah, when things go
bad.
Poorly, yeah, I would expect to see John tomorrow. If Chad can send his jet out there, he's going
to
be in studio.
He's got a decision to make. Does he want to deal with the wildfires or does he want to deal with the cold?
He hates cold.
Mm-hmm.
He hates 40s is 50s is too low for
maybe
him
he'll
now.
Take the
today the, we're in the 40s the whole time we're a little cold today
it's a little
It's cart path only today.
That'll be a problem at Wildcat too.
Probably
I imagine.
Cart path only today is my guess.
So
too cold to
the
play.
The question is, does he? There's no power in his place, but does he have KABC out there, put him up in a hotel where there's power in a safer place and do the show, or does he fly in? Which one? Because it's cold here, so there are a couple options for him. Which do you think is more likely?
I think he still has a house here.
Oh, okay. But but the weather, though.
Yeah, he ain't going. But I think he has a heater.
I don't think
at his house.
I think he'll have Wendy put him up someplace.
Yeah. Yeah, he'll just let Wendy
she'll take
figure
care of
it out.
Yeah. While John is avoiding the apocalypse, we got one more segment to go here. Do we do news of the weird? You don't have stories, right?
I don't have any stories. I think I deleted them. I did send you a fun Mick Cronin audio to your Gmail.
Yeah, I saw that. I was thinking about saving it for Monday, but since, well, we can do it. We can do it today.
It is Ship Talk, but at the same time, I want to play it for people and see who he reminds you of. When you hear him, you're going to say, huh, he reminds me of this person. He's going after his own team.
So we'll hear from Mick Cronin, the UCLA head coach, not thrilled with his team's effort. And we'll hear from him when we come back.
You're listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
Well, this is usually news of the weird, but I don't really have anything too weird because I wasn't expecting to have to pull the weird. But John, and where I usually get the weird, the stories where the weird come, I've already deleted that email, so that's probably not going to happen. But we do have about 3 or 4 minutes. I do want to play Mick Cronin. Mick Cronin is a successful college basketball coach. He's been in a lot of different places, and he's in Cal right now. And
UCLA.
I mean, yeah, UCLA right now, rather. Sorry about that. He's at UCLA right now. They just took a loss to Michigan, and he was not happy with the performance of his team. I want you to listen. Now, he goes after his team, so they'll all be in a portal next week. But when he loses all his portal guys and shuts it down, he'll wish he had never done this. However, listen to him and see if he reminds you of a certain coach who used to be here in Houston.
But we don't play. We're soft. So don't tell me you want to win. Like, just don't tell me you want to win. So don't tell me you want to win. It's crazy, you know. And it's every day. I'm tired of it. It's every day. I have the most energy of all of anybody at practice every day. I'm upset with everybody in that locker room, my assistant coaches and my players. I mean, I don't need to do anything else. I almost got 500 wins. I'm only 53. I mean, it's a joke. It's a joke. But yet I come in and I have more passion and energy and pride than everybody in. That's the problem. So what the truth of it has been, it's really hard to coach people that are delusional. The hungry dog gets the bone. We got guys that think they're way better than they are. They're nice kids. They're completely delusional about who they are. But we don't play.
This feels like he's talking about Granato.
He's not nice. He's not a nice kid, though.
No, but he's like... He's,
no one's saying that about John.
He's soft.
Delusional.
Delusional. It feel like he's going after Granato,
if
I'm being honest.
I would say...
Or Gartano, as some people call
him. If he was a UCLA shooting guard, I would say the both of us care more about the show than he does.
When he is in Chicago...
In this position, we could be Mick Cronin, because we certainly care and have more passion for the show than he does.
Yeah, no question. No question. So I feel like we're all Mick Cronin to an extent, and then the world is, you know, John Granato. Or whatever it is, it could be some guy named Will or Willie who works at your place with you.
Whoever.
Or it could be,
there's always
could
a
be
Granato.
Your kids. Like me, I care more in my house about everything than everybody except maybe my wife.
Well, because they don't know how to grind. Your kids don't know nothing about the grind.
They don't know about the grind. They don't grind at all. Matter of fact, there's no grind.
All they know about life is my dad is a successful Hall of Fame radio show.
That's what they know that, yeah.
And they know you've been working for the NFL Network
they
for
know
years.
That, yeah, they
That's
know
all
that.
They know. They don't know nothing about the struggle.
No, they don't know about struggle.
They don't know nothing about growing up and going to Tulane and winding up in some weird place where you had
to start. I was at Wharton County Junior College for a year getting my Texas residency back. Go try being in that while you're trying to get your Texas residency back.
You somehow got around some bookie who started you on this path. They Buffalo don't know nothing Jimmy. About that. They don't know nothing about that.
About the sports palace in New Orleans?
Yeah, what do they know?
In that, where you had to avoid creepy felons who at any point could do something illegal and you could get taken down just because you're hanging out in the same sports bar. You don't know about that. You don't know about getting $20 taken from you in the French Quarter because you play that stupid cup game, but it's with rolled up paper underneath Dr. Pepper caps, and you just parked your car with your mom's car in the French Quarter, and then you and G.J. Hunter and Mark Myhall, the three of you are all together, and you and G.J. put your $20 down and lose it. And now you got $20 between three dudes, and you just landed in a French Quarter, and you got to go try to get a drink. And one of the guys wants to go find a guy and kick his ass in the streets. No, y'all never done that.
They ain't got that dog in them.
You ain't got no dog. No shred him, Stroud.
Your kids ain't got no dog
in them. No, my kids are soft. Snacks did tell me he wants to get a shorter neck, so it's harder to choke him in jiu-jitsu. So
he wants
to change
his physiology?
He wants to know how he can get, like, can you shorten your neck, which I immediately realized.
Guys do the surgery.
Okay, the grades aren't going to be great. I'm just going to have to live with that.
He's not a high-level thinker, apparently.
No.
The guys are doing the surgeries to get taller. I don't know if there's anything out there for shortening your neck. No.
Yeah, and he goes, well, can I make it wider? I said, yeah.
By lifting weights?
Do some type of neck
You
want to
lift weights?
It's just on YouTube. Yeah, like, you're out here, you love jiu-jitsu, you're pretty good at it. Like, why don't you ever do stuff at the house? Why aren't you doing crunches and stuff like that? Now, you know what he'll do? He'll just get on a scale, he'll weigh, and then I'll see him flex in the – he's like 135 pounds. Then he'll flex into the mirror, or he'll just – you know, he'll win a UFC fight on Xbox, and then he gets up and starts doing this. Yeah, starts doing the flex, the DB flex, not this. He does the linebacker flex after making a hit, not the incomplete flex.
Ah.
Not that.
Does he do the seatbelt celebration?
No, they haven't. Yeah, they haven't. We haven't done seatbelt yet. I got to figure
out. Does he brandish a weapon?
He has not. See, you're hitting all the – these are all the hottest new trends. You lift the arm, there's brandish the weapons, there's the gunshot one.
When he makes a three, does
he – seatbelt. Now, Mason probably does.
Does he do the arrow thing?
My guess is Mason has done that on the court for sure. Yeah, in a practice, he's probably done that, the three, or he's done the arrow.
When he knocks down a shot, does he look to the opposing bench and go?
Well, he's got 0 points this year, so he hasn't been able to do anything.
That answers my question. Yeah. He hasn't knocked down a shot yet.
He hasn't scored for 2 years, Sebastian. So
wow.
Yeah.
Is there time to, like, hey, maybe you should go into something other than recreational basketball?
It's jiu-jitsu.
If you have not scored a point in 2 years?
Yeah, it's jiu-jitsu. He had that dog defensively, but he was a really late bloomer growth-wise. And then his foot speed got Zerline-y. He went from having pretty good foot speed, just like I did when I was until like fifth grade hit, and I was like, hey, wait a minute.
Until like fifth grade?
Yeah.
That's not a great time for your athletic ability to disappear.
First and second grade, third grade, killing it.
Yeah, there are some
fourth,
kids.
Fourth, yeah.
There are some
fifth,
kids who
like,
are great.
Hey, I got slower.
At tag and flag football, but then a growth spurt for everyone else hits, and you realize, oh.
That's what happened to me. Yeah. I was late, and I was like, well, I guess I'm just going to have to. I guess everyone else has got better bat speed than me now. Well, I've got to sit here and wait till my growth spurt
hits. Now you just talk about it.
Yeah, and I got one son who's 6'3". Alec shot up, Mason shot up, and now Sebastian's just like angry little guy.
You don't think a growth spurt is coming for him? That's rough.
We don't talk about it in the house.
That's rough.
He went. To,
he got the mom's genes? Is that what happened? Yeah. That's rough.
Yeah. Well, we've already looked at growth plates, so we don't talk about
it. Oof. Yeah. He got the brothers are all 6 feet plus. Yeah. The daughter, your daughter's a tall.
She'll be about 5'7", 5'8".
How tall is he going to be?
I mean, he'll be tall. He might hit 5'10"-ish, but that ain't what he's trying to. He's not trying to hit 5'10".
What's he?
It's 6 foot or bust. So I told him, I said, you need to stop worrying about shortening the neck, and you need to go Davis Mills and elongate the neck.
You better tell him short kings can still win.
Yeah, I did tell him that. I say, you got better leverage. What's wrong?
Leverage.
It's a leverage game.
What's he going to do with leverage
in
his
life? Hey,
you can
choke your older brothers. Everything's fine.
Hey.
That's a W.
We're right. Done.
That's it for me. You got to take over the show. We'll see what – we don't know where John's going to be tomorrow.
He keeps sending us pictures of the apocalypse in L.A. We keep getting pictures in the thread of, like, fire and dark clouds.
Tell him to hop in the jet. And just get over here and do the show here tomorrow.
Call your phone obviously works. Call Chad. Get that jet out
get
there.
Get the jet out of here, Jay Jetta. All right, you do your show next.
Thanks, Sean.
That's going to do it for us. Thank you for listening. Keep it right here, Mapes and Mopey. And
that's not how.
That show is coming up next right here. And keep it here all day long on ESPN 97.5.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
When you need to do more with less, Upwork helps you hire fast without the overhead. Find expert freelancers in design, marketing, IT, AI, and more. Never tried Upwork? Now's the perfect time. Spend your first $1,000 and get $200 in credit for your next project. No upfront costs. No long-term commitments. Just $200 to reinvest in what matters. Go to Upwork.com/save to get started. That's UPWORK.com/SAVE. Upwork.com/save.